All right, go ahead and let's find our seats. Good morning again. Let's work our way back to our seats. Good morning again. Doesn't take much prompting, and you guys just take it right off. You just go. One encouraging word, let's just greet each other, and I get a few people look at me, and then all of a sudden, there they go. Now, good to be at church this morning, be part of a church family that God's called us to be, and have each other, and have the Lord in the center of our life, just ministering in and through everything. Such an important aspect of God's gift to us to give us a church family. You know, this Monday, we know tomorrow's Memorial Day. And it's a day that we give recognition to those who have died in service of our country, and deservedly so. You know, we could go through all those things that all that brought about, immense benefits from such service to this country. And that service, among other things, has given us the freedom to proclaim the truth of God like we do so far. Many, many other countries cannot gather like this. They cannot worship freely. They cannot speak the truth of God's word openly. So I feel one great way to honor that service is to proclaim God's truth boldly, wouldn't you say? And it is such a great joy for us to gather together, to come together each Sunday to study together the Word of God, isn't it? So, you know, we have this joy because of the freedoms given us. We would have the joy of gathering together and studying God's Word, regardless if that wasn't true, because it is God's Word. It's because it's the how it ministers to our life. It's from God speaking to our hearts in this new life that we have in Christ. But we want to boldly proclaim it in honor of those that have sacrificed so much for us to have the freedom to share Christ, to proclaim His truth. Our journey through the book of 1 Thessalonians has been one of great encouragement in the truth. It's impacted my life a lot. I'm sure it has yours in many ways. We have been exhorted to be the Lord's church in many facets of life as we've worked our way through this. We desire to keep excelling at being the Lord's church rightly in this life. We continually do that. I have you opened up your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we begin to look at this last major section of the epistle. We went through some major ones for 5 weeks. We looked at the second coming of Christ. So it was a great study as we dug into that. We could have spent a lot of time on that, but we touched the things that the Lord wanted us to see in the text and to recognize on our heart the Christ coming for the church. That's what we looked at first, that our great hope in that. We looked at the return to Christ. We call it the rapture as the beginning of the second coming of Christ, and we looked at the finality of the Lord's return to judge the ungodly, which is called the day of the Lord. Really two distinct separate events that happened in the Lord's second coming. We talked about all of that. The Lord's church waits for His coming. Elder Scott prayed in that thing, that Lord, in anticipation, eagerly waiting, the Lord coming to gather His church together. That's what the church has been doing since the New Testament church began. We're looking for the return of the Lord. We're looking for the blessed hope of the Lord's coming to catch us away with Him. So in that sense, as we looked at all that, we have this incredible future hope. We have a great hope, an amazing hope that God has given us. But in the same time, that anticipation of the second coming of Christ cannot make us indifferent to the present life that we have now. And I'm just struck by how, you know, in Scott's prayer, it just struck my heart on how, with that future hope, but talking about just recognizing, even in Pastor Brent, when he shared it this morning, just giving recognition, we know where this is all going, and we know that lost people apart from God, where their heart will be led, things like this will happen, things like this will be in our present life, but we can't lose connection with the present life that we're lived now, or to be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, a strong testimony, despite however dark it might get. Yes, we all want it to be light. We want it to be encouraging. We want to influence this culture for Christ. We want immorality. Morality and immorality to be stopped. Those kind of things, you know, in our heart and mind, we're human beings. We're real. We have this. And because we have this future hope, this incredible thing, and maybe that's on the horizon, we don't know. We don't want to lose track of the present. We don't want to be indifferent to it because we have a great future hope. We cannot be indifferent to the present. And there are many things the Apostle Paul could have written next. There's so many things he could have written next. There's so many places you could have went next. You could have talked about evangelism. You could have talked about ministering to the communities. You could talk about loving one another like we did in Sunday school today, that the world will know we're the disciples of Christ if we love each other like Christ loves us, all of that. But where did the Apostle Paul go? You know, he could have written about the responsibilities the Lord's church has in the present moment with such a great future. What he does write about is about the practicality of how we live as a church family. I think it's connected to, they'll know us through disciples of Christ, how we love each other like Christ loves us. And that's what he writes next. You know, we look at those two great things and we're so encouraged. And he writes about the practicality, how we live as a church family. We are the family of God. We are a church family. Verses 12 through 22 of chapter 5 are very practical, very direct, very basic section. Not on everything, but many things of specific importance. So let's read verse 12 through 22 with that on our heart, okay, with that on our mind. So we capture the idea of the section of Scripture here. Paul is contrasting. You'll see the but in verse 12 there, right? That's a contrast in the Greek, and some commentators, well, there's no contrast. The contrast is he just told us about the hope that we have, this incredible future hope, and he just told us the world, where it's headed, what's going to happen, the day of the Lord's going to happen. We would want to be Christians because we know where it's headed. We know the history of where the world is going to go. And so Paul contrasting this great future hope we have and the judgment coming to the ungodly, the lost, he writes this, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who labor among you, who have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. You live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek what's after which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. There you go. Life in the church family. It's just right there. It's just exhortation. It's just instruction. It's just right there. It's like, but you got the hope, and the world is going to be judged by Christ when he comes back in the day of the Lord. And we looked at it, and it's terrifying. But you, today, in the present, but you, this is what you do right now. That's how he's writing it. This is your focus. This is where you're at. This helps us in our world today. This helps us with, wow, look at what's going on. Look what's going on. But God says, but you, let's keep our mind on what God wants our mind on. Let's keep on what we're here for, what the purposes are, what God uses to, we know the only answer, right, Brent? You know what he uses? He uses the gospel. You know what he uses as light of the gospel? The church of Jesus Christ. That's what he does. That's how it is. That's what God, that's why it's so important. It's pretty basic, straightforward. Many exhortations on how to live. Like I said, we'll spend 4 weeks here. Brethren is Paul's favorite word. That's what he uses there, brethren, to name the people of God. Many times he says, my beloved brethren. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what that means. That's what God called us. That's what he made us by the transforming work of Jesus Christ. He said, I made you. You're a new creation. I made you brothers and sisters in Christ, the ones that the love of God has shed abroad in your heart, that I've given you a love for one another that is by divine power. It's not something humanity has in herself. By divine power, I've given you a love for one another. We don't have to go through all the scriptures on that. We all know the truth of that. Amen? So he calls them my brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you know 60-plus times Paul uses it in his letters? 27 times in these two letters of Thessalonians. 27 times. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, brothers. Family. That's what he's talking about. Now, in your heart and your mind right now, you need to accept and just deal with the Word of God that God says when you got saved, when you got born again, the Holy Spirit gifted you and how he placed you in the body of Christ. Yes, all the church is the body of Christ. All the church is the family of God. But God, in his providence, works within individual bodies of Christ, church families. And he says, then be a family. That's what he says. Love with the love that I've given you. Be a family. So Paul saw the church as a family. We do here at Living Word Fellowship. We are the church family. We talk about it all the time. Because God's word says we are. Not because we want it to be, not because that. And if that struggles you and you have a hard time with that, you got to deal with the Lord on that, okay? Because that's God's word. And see, so such an important thing for us to think about and see. It's like, well, you know what? You know, my family, they're strange. I don't like my family. Yeah. Welcome to family. We got a lot of crazy aunts and uncles here. Some nephews that, woo. No, but it's life, isn't it? Come on, church, right? It's life. This is, God says it's life. This is life. Don't miss out on life. Don't miss out on life that God have you. You know what? We're going to be in heaven. And then the new heaven and earth, and we're going to have this existence. And guess what? We're going to hang out as family, right? Maybe, Art, we're going to play softball. I don't know. But it's sure fun, right? Enjoying each other, loving each other, encouraging each other. See, I'm just trying to prime our hearts and minds to think about this isn't like just because he's used brother and it's some simple thing. No, this is the depth of the text. We are in relationship with each other, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. So here's a specific section of Scripture about the life of the church family, about the life of brothers and sisters in Christ. That's Paul's subject. So the last major section is about the responsibilities of relationship in the life of the church family. You see them in the text. Number one, concerning members with leaders and leaders. Number two, concerning members of the family with one another. And then number three, concerning members of God's family to God. That would be what church life is about, the family of God is life about. It's about our responsibilities of relationship within the church family and with our God. It's very direct, practical, specific exhortations on how we live as family in the church. You can apply this to your home. Parents, got kids, listen to this. Listen to the word of God today. Listen to it. Yes, first application is within us. And that's what God wants us to understand and know. And we embrace as a family of God. And we got leadership and members And we have a relationship with God. You can apply this at home. You can talk to, okay, so if we're supposed to have a responsibility of relationship with leaders to the members of the church, there's a responsibility, dads, as leaders to your family. Period. Same application goes right through it. Same as to mom, same to the kids, same as all that, because family's family in the Word of God. Amen? So this is how this works, and this is, we're going to go through it. We'll work our way through it and look at it, but this is what God wants us to embrace and apply to our life. So for today, let's just look at the first category in your outline there concerning members and leaders. Paul addresses first the responsibility of relationships concerning members of the church family and the leadership of the church family. Verse 12, we're to be like a family. Look what he says, verse 12 and 13. He says this, but we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Let me talk to the young kids here today. You guys here? High schoolers, junior hires, elementary, right? Your parents are your leaders in the home. Dad's the head shepherd, but we all know mom's in there leading also, right? God's word says, hey, love mom and dad. Isn't that what that says? Esteem them very highly in love, right? Appreciate the things that they're doing. Recognize that God gave charge them over you. You know, and God's holding them accountable to how they lead over you. You see how the application is? This is the way God has designed it. This is the way it is. And we all know mom and dad is in the process of sanctification, aren't they? Again, now I want you to give recognition to that as a family, we are in the process of learning and growing in the truth just like at your home. We're a family of God. Confession is taking place in the family. Repentance is taking place in the family. Spiritual growth is taking place in the church family. Should be. If it's not, you're not participating in the family. You got to ask for forgiveness. You got to deal with things in your life, those kind of things, right? Right? We're all in a process of moving in the right direction always regarding our relationship. The first two verses speak about the relationship between God's leadership and his church and the members of that church family in both ways. This is God's word on the subject about the relationship. Two verses. Now, as I worked on this, I could have done four messages on the rest of Scripture about the relationship between leadership and church members, back and forth, how it goes, and that kind of thing. We're going to just finish this up today, the next 25 minutes from these two verses, and get the gist and get the richness of what we're looking at and say, okay, that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do, Lord. That's how we want to handle this. This is how we see this. This is what God's Word says. Now, obviously, all of us are in the process of sanctification, and guess what? Sometimes your elders need to ask for forgiveness and repent and change and grow, spiritual growth. None of us are Jesus, and that's a good thing, because if we, well, maybe not, because if we were exactly like Jesus, we wouldn't be here or we'd be in eternal life. So, but you aren't either, right? Didn't get any amens there. I want you to look with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to just you grab the just grab the richness of this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, sorry. I want you to listen to the relationship of the Apostle Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, the first leadership of this church family, and their relationship with them as leaders to members of the church. I want you to listen to God's word, okay? That's what we're going to do. We're just grabbing here. Here, first, what we're looking at here is concerning members and leadership of the family. The first thing we're going to look at is the responsibility of leaders to members. Leadership has a responsibility to the members of the church family. We're all part of the church family. I'm a member of this church family, so is every elder here. But they're a calling of God to be in leadership. We have a responsibility toward the members. We're going to kind of dig into that first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, listen to Paul, Silvanus and Timothy's relationship as leadership. He said, but you yourselves know. You might want to circle that. You yourselves know, right? Brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but after we have already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, you might want to circle that too. So you're looking at the relationship, so they're coming to them, that kind of thing, and they know them. They know them. They understand what they've been through. They understand what's going on, that kind of thing. We had boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amidst much opposition. For our exhortation did not come from error or impurity or a way of deceit. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. Now we're looking at the relationship of the first leadership to this church in Thessalonica. And Paul's explaining their relationship to them. For we never came with flattering of speech, as you know, there you go again, as you guys know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is our witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority, but we proved, there you go, we proved, you saw it, we proved it to be gentle among you, as nursing mothers tenderly cares for her own children, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us. Verse 9, for you recall, there you go, now you know, brethren, our labor and our hardship, how working night and day is not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses. There you go again. You see, you watch, you know. And so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you who believe, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father with his own children. Did you hear what the relationship going on there? You heard the relationship of leadership to members and members to leadership, right? You heard it. It's pretty simple. Did you hear it? There's a responsibility before God, and we'll look at them in a minute, but there's a responsibility before God to the church to know that the leadership and what they're doing. You heard it, right? You're a witness of it. Now, this isn't about being critical. This isn't about being, oh, well, they didn't do it the way I liked it or didn't do it perfect. No, are the leadership, the responsibility, are they doing the things God called them to do? Absolutely. We know. We see. There's a lot here, but they spoke the gospel, the truth of God's word, to please God, not men, didn't seek their own glory of men, but they sought the glory of God. They cared for them, fond affection for them, labored on their behalf, exhorted them, encouraged them like a father does his own family, your witnesses. Now look at verse 12. So that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. That's the point. That's the point of relationship with leaders to the members of the church. The point is so that you, us, we would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls us into his own kingdom and glory. Any other point? Miss the point. Any other point in the relationship between the leadership of the church and the church family, and going back and forth, any other point is missing the point. It's about our walk in an honor and a manner worthy of the God who called us to his own kingdom and glory. It's not about any other thing. It's not about preferences, not about personal preferences, not about what I like, what I don't like. It's about our walk with the Lord. Give me an amen there. That's the point. That's the point of your relationships in the church family. Mom and Dad, isn't that the point? You want these guys right here, your children, you want them to walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls them to his own kingdom and glory. You want to make it about a different point? Do you want to make your life, your relationship, your marriage, your home, you want to make it about something else? I want to encourage you, don't make it about anything else. Don't make it about anything else but about the walk with the Lord. That takes patience, kindness, gentleness. It takes all those things, but it takes truth. It takes God. It takes trusting him, walking with him, seeking him, asking him. Show me, guide me, lead me. It's all of that, right? It's more than just, oh, we have the right kind of relationship. You know, or we're kind or gentle, or we have the relationship on God how he wants us to. And we're seeking it. We're growing in it. For all of us to live in a manner worthy of the God who calls us into his own kingdom of glory is foundational to us as a church family in fulfilling our responsibility of relationships. That's the point. The leadership of the Lord's church we're talking about are elders, pastors, overseers, under-shepherds of the church in Scripture, all the same. Different titles, just identifying different responsibilities. It's the leaders committed to the direction of the Lord's church. That leadership, God's called them to it. Scripture says they are to protect, teach, equip, lead, care for, and love the church family, shepherd the Lord's church. And now we're looking at the first relationship from our text concerning leaders and members. Verse 12, look at it with me, back to chapter 5, verse 12. Here is the leadership relationship to the members. But we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction. There you go. They diligently labor among you. The leadership, let's just identify as elders from here forward so I don't have to say pastors. Okay? Because that's what we call leadership here at Living Word Fellowship, but we identify them as elders. The elders are to exhibit great effort in fulfilling their responsibilities. They're to labor at it. Acts 20:28 says to an elder, be on guard of yourself. That means protect your own heart and mind with the truth of God's word. Deal with your own walk with the Lord. And then it says, and be on guard for the flock. Do the same for them. Labor at it. Labor at it. That means God has called elders to labor at protecting your heart and mind and your walk with the Lord from being railroaded. We're to do it to us first, and then we're to do it to you. We're to labor at that. That's what it says, labor. Ephesians 4:12 says we're to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We're to diligently labor at that. Teach you, disciple you, encourage you, walk with you, whatever it might be. And what it would be for you to be equipped so you would do the ministry work that God has called us to do, that would be all the things in building up the body of Christ. That would be salvation, sanctification. That's to be sharing Christ, to be a testimony of Christ, to be encouraging each other in our walk with Christ, whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. I can't get in lost in all of them. 1 Peter 5:2 says, we're to shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. We're to labor at that. We're to shepherd the church of God. That's what it's called. That's what God's called us to do. That's the relationship that we have with you, that the elders have with you. That's what we're called to do. The word of God says we're to do exercising oversight, shepherd the flock of God among you. Jesus told Peter in John 21:16, tend my sheep, shepherd my sheep. See, the idea here is we're part of the sheep, we're part of the flock, we're part of all of it, but some of us there are to help with tending and shepherding and guiding and leading and those kind of things. God did that. I didn't decide that. Half the time, Krista and I pray all the time, and we talk about, why don't we just remain just sheep and not part of the shepherd ministry here? It was so much easier. Just come and attend, worship, love people, get in events, because it's labor. And it's called for diligently labor. Do you know your elders diligently labor? Or is it in your mind and heart? You think, oh, they're this, they're that. You don't know them then. You got a clue. Now, this is always hard to preach because this is about me, including in the elders. But I'm going to stay with the Word of God. And the testimony that God has given us, 2 Thessalonians 3:7 says this, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. The elders are to exhibit great effort in being an example by living in a disciplined manner among the church family." I'm not sure many of us in this church family know about the great effort the elders give in answering God's call to shepherd the Lord's church. Ken Hange's been here 100 years. That's about how long you've been here, Ken? I wrote 37 plus. Am I good? You guys don't know what he did when he first was here. Man, he mopped the floors. He set up everything. I mean, this guy's been serving it all the time, right? Craig, you're somewhere similar, right? 35 plus years. Tom's not here today. He's not feeling well, but he spent his whole life doing this. He spent a lifetime being a leader of a church. Brent, collectively, about 18 years, right? Myself, 15 years here. Scott, what are you, about six? Five? 100? What's it seem like to you? 4 or 5? And the baby's not here. Ray's not here today. Ray's been doing it just for the... They all diligently labor among you. Yes, in different ways. It's our responsibility to labor in the right things concerning relationship with the church family. Half our time is we're working on getting out of the wrong things and getting ourselves to the right things that God wants us to do. Paul says in our text, they have charge over the church family in the Lord. That means they are to lead, charge over. They go before. 1 Timothy 3, verse 4 and 5 says they manage the household of God. Yes, they are to do that in the right way, just like in your own home, but they are to labor at it. Now, let me just give by a raise of hand, how hard is it to manage your 3 children, or 4 children, or 5? Is it hard, guys? Now manage the rest of you guys. Okay? Now, it's not like in a household, you know, we don't decide what the dinner time is for you, and we don't decide that you got to take a bath. And it's not like that, right? But this is God's word, what it says. This is our responsibility. If we're not doing these things, we're not owning up to the responsibilities of our relationship with you, according to God's word. Now, I don't know where you're on all that. I don't know where your mind is like, whoa, I'm not really sure. But I'm just going to preach God's word and God's truth in responsibility of relationships. 1 Timothy 5:17 says that some of the elders are to labor at preaching and teaching. I certainly do. Many of us do, but to do it, all of us do it in some form or manner of preach and teach. In our text, Paul says they are to give instruction, obviously from God's word. The elders are to exhort and to reprove the church family collectively and individually with God's truth. That's from Titus 2:15. Not only on Sunday morning, but in and through the relationships of the church family, the elders are to disciple, counsel, teach, lead, protect, and love with great patience and instructions. That's from 2 Timothy. I want you to listen to Colossians 1:28-29 about the leaders and their responsibility of relationships with the church family. That's what we're embracing. That's what we're seeing. It's you don't lord it over and all those kind of things. The manner, we're not going to look at the manner. We're going to look at the responsibilities of the relationship. We got to be held accountable to the manner. We get that. And that's the hard thing when the manner that it was done by other leadership or other times or those kind of things and it wasn't repented of or acknowledged, that kind of thing brings harm. Ask God to forgive us for that. You need to ask God to forgive you for that. We need to move on because it's God, but... Look at Colossians 1, if you want to, with me. 1:28-29, it says this, he's talking about leadership, we proclaim him. We proclaim Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. That's who we proclaim. He's the answer to everything. Leadership's not the answer. Under-shepherds aren't the answer. The pastor's not the answer to everything. We proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, admonishing every man and woman. Admonishing, that is, look at it this way, the word admonishing. In the original language, is to come alongside, put your arm around you, and say, you know what? I don't think God wants us to go this way. I think it's that way. I'm here. I'll walk with you. I'll be here. Now, it might be I need to get pretty serious about it and need to say, you got to stop because what you with this way, right this way, needs to stop because it's causing destruction. But it's admonishing. God calls the leadership to be in relationship with you in that way. We'll look next week, you two with each other. But it's loving, it's caring, it's arm around, coming alongside, correcting, right? If we don't do that, we're not handling the responsibilities God's given us in relationship. We're not doing it. We're trusting in God in all this. Listen to what he has to say. We proclaim Jesus Christ. He's the answer, the way, the truth. admonishing every man and woman and teaching every man and woman with all wisdom so that we may present every man and woman complete in Christ. There you go. What's the point of all this? So that we would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls us into his own kingdom and glory. That's the point. The way you're going doesn't honor Christ. This is the way that honor Christ. Well, we're trying to honor Christ, right? I get it. I've been there. I've been the one going, right? You should get some more amens there too. This is real, folks. This is the church family. This is life. This is what's going on. This is like, oh, okay. You know, this is what it is. For this purpose, also I labor and strive according to his power which works mightily within me. It's not according to my power, not according to my wisdom, not according to any of the elders' power, wisdom, love. It's all about divine power of God bringing this about, and we got to deal with our own heart and mind that it's always about what God wants done and not about us. It's not in our power. We're not trying to control anything. We're just trying to love the way God's called us to love, and we have a responsibility in it. The elders here understand that. We're growing in that. The elders diligently labor in that arena. Elders must clarify direction, clarify beliefs in God's truth for the flock. They must set goals, make decisions, give direction, affect change, solve problems, all the while knowing that the people within the church family, that it is God who is at work in their lives. We just do our part trying to join in God's work. You know how many men have poured their self into my life since I came to Christ 27 years ago? Just joining into the work that God was doing in my life. Incredible. I could never pay them back. I could never acknowledge them enough. I could never. But the Word of God says, so live Christianity well if you want to honor them. This is about what God's doing in our lives, guys. It's not about big people, little people. We're all the same family of God. We just have different responsibilities. We have to deal with that in our heart and mind. For it's God bringing spiritual growth, maturity, mainly through the process of teaching God's word toward application, which includes confession, repentance, and change. It's hard work. It's hard work. The elders are to diligently labor among you, like 2 Thessalonians says, like a mother caring for her young child. Remember when I taught that? Sometimes it's that, or like a father imploring his children. Sometimes it's like that. Is there always growth needed as an elder? What do you think, Ken? Absolutely. A lot of times we're just holding each other accountable on the things that God is at work in our life. And we're men of confession, of repentance. But seriously, the elders at Living Word Fellowship seek to diligently labor to fulfill their responsibilities of relationship within the church family because we're members of this church family. Like all of us, and called by God, Scripture says, made by the Holy Spirit, overseers of God's flock. Now let's look at the other side of the coin, okay? We'll just do it quickly. The responsibilities of relationship concerning members to leaders. Look at verse 12. Look what he said. Back to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. But we request you of you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. There you go, one word, appreciate. That seems like pretty simple. Thanks for the simple instructions there to appreciate. Well, God knows our heart and that kind of thing, and God knows who we are as people and that kind of thing, and sometimes it's difficult to that word appreciate and to be thankful for appreciate someone. That original word in the Greek that's used for appreciate is oida. Very, very interesting word. It means to know or to see and perceive. It's straightforward. Your responsibility is to appreciate, but it's, like I said, oida means to know and perceive. You should know your elders is what it's saying and appreciate them. You should know what they do. You should know the labor that they're doing. You should appreciate them. You should acknowledge it. You should recognize it. You should know them just by the pastoral prayer this Sunday. We should know Scott. And we do know Scott. We know his love for the church family. He knows his commitment to us in Christ. He knows his compassion for the people that are in this world. Those aren't just words that you just write down. Those are things that you spend with the Lord and say, what do you want us to pray about on Sunday for this family? It's not canned things that we pray about. It's where God has us in our life with him. And you see his deep concern for the church family. All of these guys, when they pray, their unwavering desire for our walk with Christ. You hear it every Sunday. Now I'm going to call out some names, and I don't want some people to get embarrassed, but I'm going to do that just because this is so important. And I'm going to include the wives because that's how it is, you guys. You guys know Craig and Jody? You know Craig and Jody, unquenchable desire to nurture the marriages of this church family, plus many other things. They labor at that. You guys all know that. They labor a lot of other things, but I'm just pulling. You know Ken and Mary's constant compassion for those struggling within the church. You know their constant compassion. The two biggest prayer warriors in this church. They're always laying everything before the Lord and praying for you and everything that's going on. That's God's calling. Ken is really God's protection for this church family. He always has been that. You know Ray and Jeannie and their dedication to serve this family in so many areas. Ray is an example of living in a disciplined manner. You know Scott and Christy and their ministry to the young people and such a sensitive heart to certain things going on at certain ages, and Scott's love and care and faithful leadership to the men and the men's ministry. You know Tom and Linda with their commitment to serve you in so many areas. You're getting to know and do know Brent and Jennifer. You know their love for this church family and their dedication to God's truth and shaping the lives of individual families. They're committed to that. Their evangelistic hearts toward the children here and toward the lost. It's a labor. You know Ken and Krista, our dedication to teaching the truth of God's word to all this family of God, to serve wherever we needed. You know the love and care the elders have for you in your walk with Christ in the life of this church family in honoring the Lord. You guys know it. That's why the relationship works right. Because then you appreciate it. Now, I'm going to be real. You don't appreciate us all the time. And we don't, you know, we all struggle in our humanity. But see, you see what Paul's getting to? He's getting to real things in life, isn't he? That's where we want to go. You can be critical of the elders and some of the things they do, and you can question. That's okay. You can come and talk. We'll do all of that because our heart is to have the right relationship with you. And it's not a false appreciation. It's like, well, we're just supposed to appreciate him. It's a way to, you see and perceive and know, when you intimately know something, you appreciate what it's doing. The elders have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. 1 Corinthians 16:15. The elders have asked for forgiveness, repented of sin, grown spiritually. You bet they have. The church family's relationship to them is to be one of appreciation. Look at verse 13. Look what it says. And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Now, the peace with one another is with them and with each other. It's both, right? If you have something in your heart and mind that you are not at peace with the leadership of this church, we're going to ask you right now that you pray to God about it and that you come talk to us, because it is the wrong relationship in the church family for you not to be at peace with the leadership here. But it's wrong for the leadership not to be at peace with anybody else here. And then it's wrong that we're not at peace with anybody, with each other. We want God to work on all that. But see, this is what he's talking about. Okay, we got this future hope and great hope, and God's going to judge the ungodly in this world. The present matters. The present matters. Let's deal with our present. It says to esteem, to hold in view, to regard. To hold in view them, to regard them very highly in love because of their work. That's what it says. It's not phony. It's not fake. Well, we just got to hold them in high view of love for their work. But man, they're just a bunch of whatever, okay? Deal with your relationships with the Lord. Deal with your relationships in life. And if they're not according to Scripture, if they're not according to God, I can't make you deal with them. I'll admonish, I'll correct, I'll teach and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't deal with them, that's between you and the Lord. But you're not really concerned about the church family if you're not dealing with them. So that you're not concerned about the gospel of Christ. You're not concerned about the testimony of Christ. And you're not concerned about people's salvation with this incredible future hope that you have. That God has already promised you, that said, I'll come get you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in me and trust in God. John 14. See, this is just our relationship. This is what they are. God wants us to deal with them and work with them. And we're in the process. Remember I told you we're in the process. None of us are anywhere close to Jesus. But to hold very highly in love because of their work. Love one another is such an important aspect of the church. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:22, we're to love one another fervently from the heart. But let me just give you a clarity what this is talking about. Here in view is love in the mind. In your mind, always in your mind, in your relationship with those that are called to lead the church. We're going to be offensive. We're going to be, where there's going to be issues. This life is that way. I'll just give you one illustration. So when you were 12 years old, did your parents ever irritate you? Well, if you would have held them in high, very high view of love, you would have went to them and say, Mom and Dad, why are you doing that? I don't understand. It seems like that's taken from me. I really didn't like that. You know, vegetables, do we have to eat green beans every week? Whatever it is, okay? Right? Because you hold them in your mind in a very high view of love, the love of God. They're going to love them. And so I'm going to think that of them, and I'm going to go to them, and I'm going to see why I'm having this hard thing in my heart with them. Because God doesn't want that hard thing to continue to go on. And any elder leadership at church, when somebody brings that, it's not about defending us. I can't defend me. I'm Ken Rollins. I needed salvation, still need Christ every day. I can't defend me. I can defend the truth of God's word. But so many here have held me accountable to just my life and just the journey of it. I could give you 20 illustrations. And so it's not about that I'm some, or any elder here, some perfect wisdom, great theologian, all that kind of, I'm just one called by God to shepherd the church of God. And I need the Lord to shepherd every day, and I need the family of God to help. You see what I'm getting to? When we get to next week about our relationships together, this will really kind of help us in all of that kind of stuff. Because sometimes in the direction of decisions, or on the teaching of God's truth, or the preaching of God's word, or discipleship, or correcting, which is part of shepherding the church, or counseling, or admonishment, someone in our family can be offended, be put off. And what God wants us to do is to learn is in our hearts, say, no, wait a minute. God wants me to regard them very highly in love for their work. So if there's an issue, something that, you know, I'm supposed to get together with my family members. And we're supposed to figure this out and work this out. That's why he said, right, be at peace with one another just right next. We're to be at peace with one another. So as we close, time is gone. I'll pick it up next week. Let me just ask you a question. Why did Paul tell us this? What do you think? Why did he write it? I told you the context. We've been studying the Word of God. We got to the rapture of the church. He's teaching them that. They're worried. Hey, people are passing away, man. Are they going to miss the Lord coming? No, don't worry. In fact, in the day of the Lord's going to come, right? And we're people of the day, not people of night. We're not under judgment. We have a different, you know, if you were here for those teachings, he taught all that. We have this incredible future hope, and the world is heading toward Christ coming to judge it. Why tell us this? So you say remind us of where we're, right? So part of it is reminding us on what we're, the way we're supposed to be. But let's, okay, there's a purpose. Why? Why say this to us? Okay, we forget, need to be reminded, but why? Okay, we need the Bible's full of the reminding of us things. Why tell us this right here? Why? Because living as a church family matters. That's why. You want to hold it up to the day of the Lord and the rapture of the church? What he writes next is church family and the way you live with each other. That's why. I could show you. We could go into where he taught all the things previously. But like I said, my time's gone. But we could look at all the epistles and what's talked about doctrine, that kind of thing, and then about, all right, now be church family. Why write it that way? Because the right relationships within the church family impacts tremendously the life of the church and proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why. I want to embrace what proclaims the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to embrace it wholeheartedly. I want to embrace it. I want to live it. I want to deal with my life in it because it's the only thing that rescued me from the day of the Lord, and I didn't deserve to be rescued. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and for just our time to worship you and come together and lightly touch into your word this morning. You know, the way we live and the responsibilities of relationships, Lord, there's duty and things and all of that, but we want to dig down in the profundity of your word on why you tell us these things and the impact that they have. And yes, we want to do the things because God's word says we're to do those, but what we want to do is embrace in our heart to live the way you've called us to live and let you be God and use it to build your kingdom, which you have called us into, and your glory. We thank you for our opportunity today to just be the church family you called us to be. Help us to be an encouragement to each one of us, each other in the life that we have. We praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, guys.